Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a special segment called They Said What, where Shauna's taken to task for doing something we probably all love to do. And we wrap things up with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura.
Hello.
Hello. This is episode 40. Laura, we made it full term. Our podcast is a full term baby.
Oh my gosh, our podcast must be so uncomfortable right now.
What's our podcast going to give birth to?
I'm not feeling clever today. Shauna, let me ask you, what is our podcast going to give birth to?
Fame and fortune.
Good answer. I was going to say like an MP3 or something. I don't know.
Anyway, we're going to start with our check-ins as usual. Laura, why don't you start us off?
So my baby is 8 weeks. He's 2 months and he is doing great. He is starting to sleep better. It's so funny
Yay.
To me. Yeah, he's getting about four. He's consistently getting 4 hour stretches a night, and sometimes it goes up to about five, a little over five. So I know, like, in theory, he could be sleeping more, but also in theory, he could be sleeping a lot less. So I'm just enjoying that he wakes up once a night. Like, that's great. That's fine.
Amazing.
Yeah. He'll wake up once a night and I'll feed him and it'll be fine. And it's amazing how just that little bit of a difference makes so much of a difference in my like daily mood and how I feel, like how much I feel like I can get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Also helping with getting stuff done is that my mom's back in town for this week, staying across the street again, which is awesome. Mm. So she's been helping me a lot. She'll just come over and hold the baby while I like run errands. She let me go. I went to my first Pilates class post-pregnancy on Wednesday.
Oh, cool. How did that go?
It was actually okay. I was shocked that I could still like do ab work. I credit the fact that I had a small baby. Like, I never got that diastasis recti, or what, you know, the separation of the abdominal muscles. I also credit mm-hmm. that I was going to yoga pretty regularly during pregnancy, and I had done Pilates for years before getting pregnant, and I really think that helped. Like, the core strength I got from Pilates just persisted throughout my pregnancy, which I felt was really grateful for. So it wasn't nice. Easy, but it was doable. So, and it was a level one class. Like, So part of the reason I went is because one of my favorite teachers, she gave me a free class because I gave her a butt. She's also pregnant. And so I gave her like all my pregnancy pillows that I had amassed.
All your pregnancy pillows.
Well, one
did you have?
You don't remember my pillow strategy? So I actually had four different pregnancy pillows of different types. One of them I had to throw away because there was like a mishap with some flooring that got water damage, and like essentially the flooring laminate grew into the pillow. Like, I thought it was a fungus at first, but
that's disgusting.
It was really gross. It's been raining a lot here, as you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have a little bit of water damage, and it was like sitting on the floor, like where the water was seeping in, I guess, and it became one with the floor. So that was, and unfortunately that was like probably the most expensive one. It was the big C-shaped pillow that I got as a hand-me-down. So that had to go in the trash. There was just no salvaging it. But I had three different pillows. I had the wedge that you wedge under your belly when you're sleeping on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Love that one. I had the knee pillow that helped with my SPD pain. And then I had the something else I got from our friend Carrie, which was, she called it the scrotum pillow. It's like this two lobes, and you put it under your back or under your side when you're sleeping, and it supports your back and your belly. I love that one too. So,
oh, cool. I never had a scrotum pillow.
So anyway, so I gave her all these pillows because she's pregnant, and she was like, oh, you want to take my class as a, you know, in exchange? I was like, okay. She was like, okay, so I have the level one at 11, and then I have the core burn class at 12. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with that level one.
You didn't want to jump back in with core burn?
Considering my core was cut open 8 weeks ago, I think it's okay.
Yeah,
I'll pass. So, but that was fun. But anyway, the big thing that happened this week was that we got our 2-month shots. And by we, I mean my little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, it was just sad, man. He was like, okay, I am fully, fully supportive of vaccines. I don't believe in the delayed schedule. I don't believe any of that. Give him all the vaccines he needs on the schedule recommended by doctors. I'm all for it. But I totally can see why people get weird about it, because he was, like, clearly in so much pain. Like, mm-hmm. It hurt so bad. The poor little man was crying so bad when he got his 3 little jabs. And actually, they're not that little. Like, they're intramuscular, so they were kind of long needles. Like, they mm-hmm. looked like they hurt. And I was, like, holding his arms by his head and kind of, like, next to his head, like, trying to, like, soothe him. Corey was holding his legs down, and then the nurse was giving him his jabs, and he was just screaming. And I just felt – I ended up, like, almost totally full-on, like, bawling. Like, I did well up a little bit because he was, like, so sad.
Oh, that's so hard to see. It's after they were done, did you, like, nurse him or anything to comfort him, or how did you calm him down?
That was my big plan, but then one of the vaccines they give is an oral vaccine, mm-hmm. right? It's, like, the liquid, and they gave it at first, and he didn't mind that. He's like, I guess there's sugar in it, so he was like, this is delicious. But mm-hmm. I asked, I was like, oh, you know, he's a big spitter-upper. What happens if he spits this up? And the nurse was like, I don't know. I was like, great.
No one's asked that question before.
Right? I'm sure the doctor would know. She was just like, I don't know. So I was like, so I probably should wait to feed him then till it's settled. She's like, yeah, I'd wait like half hour at least just in case. I was like, great. So I couldn't nurse him. But, you know, he calmed down fairly quickly just by, like, rocking him and hugging him real close. And,
oh, that's good.
But it was sad.
You know, that reminds me that my doctor gives the jabs first and then ends with the
sugar.
Tasty one, the mm-hmm. sugar. So it's like she was upset and then she got, like, a taste of sugar and she was like, nom, 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 nom.
Yeah.
Maybe your nurse should employ that strategy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for the next round I'll ask if they'll switch it up because mm-hmm. maybe because they don't want to do it because the kids are normally screaming and they think they can't get it in their mouths or something. But
oh, yeah, that could be. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can see how that's good because also that was like her first taste of sugar ever.
Yeah.
So she's like, ooh.
Exactly. Yummy.
Yeah. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Anyway, and then afterwards, he didn't get a fever, but he was so sleepy. I don't know if it's just because of the energy that was expended, like crying and the pain. But he definitely was like sleepy for a good 24 hours. And I think he's still a little, just all week, he's just a little fussier. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because he's going through his second leap or because the, you know, his immune system is all ramped up from the shots. Mm-hmm. But something's going on.
It's always an ongoing mystery with these little ones. It's like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And all we can do is really just roll with it. And
I know. Like, what are you trying to tell me, kid?
I know. I want answers.
But, you know, he's fine. And I'm fully aware that the short amount of suffering he went through is just so much better than him coming down with any of these diseases that he got immunized for. So I'm very grateful for the presence of vaccines. I'm very grateful that we can protect our kids from these totally preventable diseases. So
hear, hear.
You know, I just have to suffer through watching them be sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, how about you, Shauna? What's going on with you this week?
So my baby is 12 weeks old now.
That seems like such a big milestone.
Yeah. Well, she's almost 3 months, which once she reaches that point, it's like that fourth trimester is over and she's
not a newborn.
She still is. She's not 3 months yet. I mean, I still have a newborn.
You still have a newborn for the next week.
Yeah.
Aww.
I know. Yeah, so it is a big milestone, and I'm starting to see some changes. You know, her sleeping, like you mentioned, is also starting to get better for her. It's still, some nights are hit or miss, but in general, I've got a system, Laura. If you know
please
me.
Please tell me about you.
I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I like to try to get, like, things in order. And mm-hmm. I think I've established, like, a really good sleeping situation for naps and bedtime. And here's what it entails. Of course, the snoo. Which is connected to the Wi-Fi and plugged in and everything. And I've got my white noise machine. Even though the snoo does white noise, like, when you stop the snoo, the white noise ends. And
yes.
So I like to have something going. So I've got my white noise machine. I've got a cool mist humidifier near her bed.
The humidifier. Interesting.
Yeah. Which helps me too, especially when we're running the heater so much. I really like keeping it a little moist. So that's the next one is the heater. Of course, in the house, I'm super anal about the temperature. We set it to 69 at night, and that's like enough for my daughter, my older daughter, to be warm, and it's good enough for the baby to not get overheated. But then that's not quite enough, so then I have a space heater in the bedroom too.
Oh, wow.
And I have that to set to 69 because it just, that's like the perfect regulated temperature, and it's like kind of bright, so it's also my nightlight. So I've got all this stuff in place. And she's been going down, knock on wood, she's been going down pretty easily. Like, I do my routine with her, like the bedtime routine, and she goes down pretty easily and stays asleep at the beginning of the night for a pretty good amount of time.
What's a pretty good amount of time?
She'll usually go about 5 or 6 hours.
That's good.
At first, yeah, before waking up. So that's nice. But then the other night, Laura, it all went to hell.
Tell me why.
Because we had a big storm.
Oh, yes,
in Los Angeles.
Yes,
and at about 8:30 p.m., a huge crack of lightning hit near our house and killed the electricity.
No!
And my literal first thought was, the snow! No! My baby had already gone to bed. She goes to bed at 7. She was in the snow, rocking away with her white noise, and the electricity killed it. I was like, oh, no, she's going to wake up. How am I going to get her back to sleep? She's so reliant on the snow. I was freaking out. And it killed my noise machine. It killed my humidifier.
That's right.
It killed the heat in the house. It killed my space heater, which is also my nightlight. Everything was dead. I was like, I had
your whole
nothing
system.
To go with.
Your whole system was shot.
My whole system was shot. I was a nervous wreck. I was just like, well, I was mostly anxious about the heat, of course, because it was a cold night. And I was like, oh, my God, my kids are going to get really cold. And I can't put a blanket on, you know, the baby and everything. So I was anxious about that. And then just, is she going to wake up? Is she going to be able to sleep? How many times am I going to have to wake up with her tonight? I could not sleep. Because by the time I went to bed, the electricity was still off and it was just pitch black, silent, nothing.
It's so eerie when you don't realize how much noise, electricity, and just like all the things around you create until the electricity goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the fridge, the heater, air conditioning, just like the general buzz of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was disconcerting.
So how'd it go? So what happened?
So it actually went okay. I couldn't believe it. She did not flinch at the snoo stopping.
Wow.
She slept in there until about midnight, 12:30, which is a little earlier than she usually gets up.
Oh, no. I heard that.
Yeah, she usually sleeps longer for a nap. All right, so sorry, I had to take a quick break to grab the baby from her nap. So she did pretty well. She slept until like around midnight or so and then woke up to nurse. And then that's when it was really scary. Like, oh my God, how am I going to get her back to sleep?
Uh-huh.
With no white noise, no swaying, no heat. It was so cold in there. And so I did have my phone. I was trying to preserve battery just in case, you know, the outage was long. But I was like, I can play white noise at least on my phone. So I played my white noise and hoped for the best. And she was pretty sleepy. I couldn't believe it. She went back down. I set her in the snoo, which was still, totally still. And
did you strap her in?
I did strap her in, yeah. Yeah, because I didn't know, like, when the electricity came back on, would it automatically start again? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I didn't really know. But she did. She fell back asleep. I couldn't believe it. And it made me think, like, well, maybe I don't need this contraption and keep paying for this thing. Maybe she is able to finally start sleeping, you know, better with a still surface. So there's some stuff to consider, but it was a night of terror, Laura, a night of terror.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get terror just like watching the video monitor and being like, oh my God, he kicked his legs.
Right?
Is this the beginning of the end? He just went down. What are we going to do? Like, Corey's always like, okay, calm down. He's just moving like you move in your sleep.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, okay. All right. It's just like you have PTSD, like especially from those first few weeks that are so fucking hard. And you're just like, please, dear God, let this child sleep.
Yes, the little cries and like, them, and they're mostly just like settling noises and stuff. I know that now, but like you said, PTSD, it just automatically, my stomach goes, and I could feel it viscerally, like the anxiety of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, God, so during that thunderstorm, we had like around 8 o'clock too, we had massive lightning and thunder. And it was really cool. We live up on a hill, which, you know, is not great when you're in a thunderstorm, but it does give you a great view of all the lightning. Mm-hmm. My husband got a great video. I'll see if I can steal it from his Instagram with his permission and post it to our Instagram, because he like got a really cool video of the lightning. But at about 1 a.m., another cell, storm cell came through, and it was so loud and so close. I got woken out of a dead sleep by like a massive, well, it was one of those things where like you see the flash, and the flash woke me up, and instantly the thunder hit. Uh-huh. So you know it's like right on top of you.
Oh my gosh.
And you know how like when you put your baby down, you like tiptoe around, you like very gently close the door, like you're trying not to make any noise to wake them up?
100%, yes.
Massive clap of thunder. Did not budge. My baby did not twitch. He did not move. He just stayed quietly sleeping. And I'm like, huh, so maybe I don't need to be quite so quiet at night.
That's hilarious. So ironic. Oh, my God.
Also, my husband didn't wake up. And I'm lying there, like, paranoid that, like, I had this, one of my paranoid moments was, like, if lightning hit our house, would it, like, go through the electric, you know, like, the wires and, like, zap him in his snoo? I was like, he's in an electric bassinet, like, is that safe? So of course that helped keep me up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I like to think of all kinds of problems, like, well, anything.
Yes,
that
I was
going
to add to that one of my anxious thoughts during the storm was, oh my God, I have a lot of tall trees around my house. The lightning's definitely going to hit a tree,
mm-hmm.
create a fire. We're going to mm-hmm. have to escape because, mm-hmm. you know, like a year and a half ago, I had to escape a fire outside my baby's nursery window.
I do, yes.
Yes.
And it's so not like a theoretical for you. It actually happened.
Yeah, it did. And so, like, I have a little bit of trauma from that memory. And so I was just like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, where's the dog leashes? How do we get out of here? What do I take? Like, so that's everything I was thinking about while trying to sleep. And of course, the baby was sleeping peacefully and fine. Totally. And cool. I was the one that was a complete mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, should we wrap up this check-in and maybe finish up the episode when Steve can take your sweet little one?
That sounds like a good plan to me. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Alo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Alo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP.
Hi, welcome back. So our special segment this week is They Said What, where we talk about all the interesting, outrageous, offensive, whatever weird things people have said to us recently. Shauna, do you have a They Said What?
Yes, I have a couple. I'm gonna throw one out there first. Maybe we can take turns.
Cool.
Okay, so you know I've been going to a breastfeeding support group.
Yes.
At the hospital in Burbank, and it's wonderful. And the lactation consultants there, there's three of them. They're wonderful. They've been really, really helpful, and I've talked about them before. There's one woman there that I haven't connected with as much, lactation consultant, hasn't worked with me as much, but she said this to me on multiple occasions now. I'm sitting on the – everyone sits on the ground with a my breast friend nursing pillow with your baby on it. And while I'm nursing, I always just kind of like look at my phone, either listen to a podcast or I hit my timer to time the sessions.
Yep.
Whatever. Just passing the time. And she looks over at me and I look up. She's like, multitasking, huh?
Oh, I was like,
the first time she said it, I was like, yep, all the time. Like,
of course.
I don't know, like a joke or something. I was like, whatever. She said it to me the next two classes.
Do you think she remembered that she said it to you?
Or
do you
felt like it? I don't know.
So she's like, again?
She's like, multitasking, always multitasking. I was just like,
fuck you, man. Sorry.
So shamed and embarrassed for looking at my phone while nursing rather than, like, I don't know, staring, not even into her eyes, because her eyes are, like, shoved into my boobs. So I guess staring lovingly into her ear.
Well, just that leads to me over-grooming him. Like, whenever I, like, look at him while I'm nursing, I end up being like, someone hand me the baby hairbrush. Someone hand me, like, a Q-tip. He's got, like, gunk in his ear. Like, so you're probably saving yourself from that.
Although that's multitasking in a different way, I guess.
True.
But yeah, I don't know. I found myself at the end of this, like, third time she said that to me, hiding my phone, like, down.
Because no.
I was like, I tried to not look at my phone for a while and be like a good mom. And I was just like, I was just too bored. I just wanted to text someone. And so I, like, put the phone down, like, next to my thigh on the ground and was, like, tapping, typing with one finger. And I'm like, Shauna, you are a 40-year-old woman. Why are you hiding your phone like you're in an eighth grade classroom?
That's amazing.
Ridiculous. So I don't know. I don't know what her thing is, if she says that to everyone as, like, a joke, a conversation starter, or if she really is trying to, like, shame me into connecting with my baby. But I was just like, shut up. I don't want to hear that. I want to do what I want on my phone, and I'm fine.
Like, okay, so I have a couple thoughts. One is, I just looked at my baby tracker app and saw that for me, my average, like, duration all day of the, like, the amount of time I'm sitting there breastfeeding is an hour and 33 minutes, which I actually think is, like, low.
That is low.
It's because he's super fast. He's, like, a super fast eater. I know. It's getting longer, though. He's starting to really demand, like, it used to be he only wanted one boob, now he wants both boobs, so it's going to creep up, but he's still, like, a very fast eater. But still, that's an hour and a half of your day where what are you supposed to do? Like, just stare and, like, think about how much you love your baby? I mean, maybe you'll produce more breast milk that way.
Probably.
But also, like, that is an hour and a half of my day that I get to just do what I want. Like, my hands are generally free and I can't go or do anything else. So, like, yeah, I'm going to look at my phone and, like, answer emails and, like, scroll on Facebook and Instagram because, like, screw you. This is my time. Like, if I have to be responsible for keeping another human alive solely on the juice that comes out of my boobs, like,
I'm
going to listen to a damn podcast. All right.
Yes. 100%. I would say my total time breastfeeding every day is probably more up around 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. So, and I think that's way more typical. Yeah. I think it's just because my dude is, like, he's voracious and fast. Mm-hmm. And it probably is bad because he eats, like, way too much and then spits it all up. So who knows? But
mine is slow and lingering.
Yeah.
And I do love to snuggle her and bond with her, but I guess I also love bonding with my phone. Lady.
Multitasking. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's mine. What about you?
All right. So I also have a few. So I'll start with my first one, which is you know, my thing when I, like, can't go out on, like, a real walk. But I want to, like, bring my baby out into the world. I'll, like, walk around my backyard a little bit. And, like, I have, like, an herb garden and stuff. And I have a ton of rosemary bushes. So my thing is I'll, like, crush up rosemary leaves and, like, put them under his nose. And then basil leaves and tell them what's what. Anyway,
that's
doing this.
So cute. Aww.
I don't know if he really registers it, but I'm like, he is an obligate nose breather, right? So he has to, like, smell. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we get outdoors, and so I'm doing this, and I see my neighbor, who's a very nice man, who's probably in his 60s, I'm guessing, say, oh, hey, there you are. I didn't know if you had brought the baby home. You know, like, we were having, like, small talk. This is a few weeks ago. And we're talking, and then Corey comes out. Corey was still home at this point. Corey comes out, and we're chatting, and he turns to Corey and says, hey, you got your boy.
Ugh.
And I was just like, we were both like, yeah, like, what? Like, at first we were like, what does that mean? And then we're like, oh, because that's, like, the end goal for men. I don't know. It was really off-putting and weird. And also it was funny because I think Corey actually kind of wanted a girl.
Oh, really?
Well, he had mentioned, so you guys are responsible for this because when we got the sex, you know, chromosomes revealed to us, you know, both of us were like, we don't really care. It's just whatever's healthy is best. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. But Corey did admit, he's like, yeah, I was a little bit hoping for a girl because Stephen Shauna's daughter is so cute that, like,
really?
Yeah. He's like, Elle is, like, so sweet and amazing that I just made me want to have a girl. But you know, he's aww, like, but it's fine, I guess. So anyway, so he, like, if anyone was disappointed by the baby being a boy. So it's so interesting to hear this, like, I don't know about you, like, I think every once in a while you get a little glimpse into the patriarchy, or like you get a little glimpse into like the world of like man to man talk, mm-hmm, that we usually don't get, like it usually doesn't happen in front of us, right? Like,
right.
But that was just like a tiny little glimpse of like the male mind being like, oh, this other man must be just so proud that he has a boy. And then, you know, now his life is complete because he has a boy. I don't know. It's just,
yeah. And I wonder if a little bit of that is like a older generational thinking. I just remember that was so common when I was a kid, like my aunt and uncle trying to have kids. And it's just like everyone just knew that the uncle just was dying for a boy. Like he was going for that boy. Like they kept having kids. So they were trying to have a boy. And my dad was, you know, kept telling me, oh, you got to give Elle a brother. Got to give Elle a brother. Like, you know, mm-hmm, and I don't know. I don't really hear younger guys talk about that. I'm sure it's everyone, but I don't know if it's a generational thing, too.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. And my neighbor, it couldn't be nicer, honestly. Like, no, not to besmirch his name. I would never name him either. But like, it's just, mm-hmm, it was just interesting to me because it had never occurred to either of us that this was some kind of like victory. You know,
right,
it was just
right,
a baby, like the baby is the baby. And also maybe he won't want to identify as he when he's older, you know, like,
mm-hmm,
there's all kinds of things that could happen. And we just love him the way he is. But yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Anyway,
how did you respond in the moment? Just kind of like the awkward, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the typical like smile and nod thing where you're like, yeah, you know, like, mm-hmm, when, I mean, I'm not very good at like confronting people in those situations. I feel like the next day I'm like, I should have had a talk about the patriarchy, but yeah,
yeah,
like, it's not actually gonna happen. But yeah, you got your boy. You got your boy. God. Anyway, what else have people said to you?
So my other one is actually something my daughter Elle said to me, because you know, she's 3 and 3-year-olds are sassy,
mm-hmm,
and funny and sometimes offensive. So the other day, I don't even know where this came from. Maybe I had my hair down that day, which I hardly ever do because I'm home on maternity leave and I'm lazy and I'm like showering not that often and like wearing my hair up. And I guess I had my hair down that day and she goes, Mama, your hair looks bad when it's not in a ponytail.
From the mouths of babes.
Right? I just...
Thank you, sweetheart.
It stings because you just like, you know, there's so just pure honesty coming out of her mind. I'm like, girl, I know. I haven't cut my hair in way too long. I really need to touch up the color. Like, it's already, I'm a little insecure about it because I just really need to do my hair. And for her to just like zing it, right? Like, your hair looks... bad when it's
not just cut straight to the heart. Oh my God.
Yeah. Which is also sad too, because I think I mentioned before, my hair also looks bad in a ponytail because of my postpartum hair loss. I've got all these baby hairs ringing the top of my forehead like a crazy looking chicken. So I just feel like I don't look good any which way. And that was just a funny thing for her to say.
That is very funny. I'm sure she didn't mean it to hurt you.
No, of course not.
Just an observation. Mama, your hair looks bad.
But I tried. Today I actually tried. Oh my gosh, silly girl.
I can't wear my hair down because my baby's been grabbing it. Not intentionally, but he's making fists a lot. And it just happens to get in the way. And then he's like, he's really strong.
Yes, those little fists are really strong. And soon you won't be able to wear, I don't know if you're like dangly earring wearer, but I am. And I had a period where I could not wear that kind of thing with Elle at all. She would just rip them. Grab them.
I'm lucky because lucky. I just have never gotten into the habit of wearing jewelry unless I'm going out. Like, if I go out, I like make a point and, you mm-hmm. know, I won't have them on when I come home. So that's good at least. But
all right. What's your second one?
Okay. So my second one is actually something my mom has said to me, not once, not twice, like pretty much every time my son's name comes up. So
mm-hmm.
my son his name starts with W. As listeners know, we don't say our children's full names on the podcast for privacy, but it starts with W. And we did the thing where we didn't actually know the name before he was born. We had a list and we kind of narrowed the list down. But we decided to wait like 24 hours after he was born to make our decision, because I wanted to be a little bit recovered from the anesthesia and we wanted to like sort of take a look at him and figure out what his name was. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So on that list, we had kind of narrowed it down to a handful of names. And one of the front runners was the name August,
mm-hmm.
which was not what we named him. And it's not his middle name either. And when he came out, we looked at him and we're like, you know, he just doesn't look like an August. Like, we still really like the name, but it just isn't right. So we picked the other name. Anyway, we made the mistake of telling my mom what our runners-up were.
Oh, no.
And now literally anytime his name comes up, she goes, I am so glad you didn't name him August. Oh, my God. I can't believe you were ever going to name him August. I hate that name. Oh, my God. And it's so funny because, like, I actually, she's here. She's the one holding not August right now. And I asked her, I said, you know, we're doing this segment and I was thinking about saying, you know, telling them, using the thing you say about how you're always upset about that, or like that we even considered the name August. Is it okay if I use that in the show? And she goes, yeah, oh my God, August, I can't believe you ever considered that. Oh my, it's just like,
why is
wow.
she so offended by the word August? Did some man named August just do her wrong?
Well, for some reason, she thinks it's a girl's name, which is like empirically wrong. I like looked up the statistics. The statistics don't lie. Like, it's in America, August is a boy's name right now. Maybe it'll change. I think maybe she had a patient named August that was a girl, like some outlier.
Is she thinking of Autumn?
No, August. I don't know. I mean, her son was born in August. She should like it. She doesn't have anything against the word. She just thinks it would have been a bad baby's name, which I hate to tell her, like, it's becoming a more common baby name. So she's going to have to get used to it, seeing all the babies in her practice. But
Yeah,
so she just really does not like the name August. And I am also really glad she was like, what would I have done if you had named him August? How would I have? I was like, you probably would love him the same amount. She's like, I know, but I just would have. Oh, and this is what she said. She said, August Alexander. Then I could name him Alex. I was like, where'd you come up with Alexander? That's not his middle name either. She's like, I just came up with it. So I would call him Alex probably. I'm like, all right. In this alternate reality.
Oh my gosh. You know, that is a big reason why I didn't tell anyone our names. Or, I mean, I ran Cece's name by a couple people, but I just didn't want to tell anybody any possibility names because I don't want to hear like opinions that will deflate me about my ideas.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, when you create a piece of writing and you show it to someone too soon,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter if, especially if it's like, someone you care about, like your husband or parents or, you know, someone you actually care about, not like a critical reading partner. I find that if you show it too soon or you're not ready for feedback or you're just really like what you wrote and you don't want it to change, you're cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to someone. They could say that this is the best thing they've ever read. It should win all the prizes in the world. But maybe you should just change this one tiny little thing. All I can hear is you should change this one tiny little thing.
Yes.
And then you're fixated on it and you can't even like focus on like the rest of it. So even if someone was like, that's such a cute name, I like it. I had an uncle who was kind of a jerk with that name, but oh, such a cute name. You know, then you'd be like, well, shit.
Yes.
You know, my best friend's uncle has that name. And now every time she sees the kid, she's going to think of her jerk uncle, mm-hmm. you know.
And people usually reserve those thoughts, like, once you present the child with name.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no one's telling you mm-hmm. about their asshole third grade teacher with that name.
Yes.
Or whatever. Although, who knows their third grade teacher's first names?
Third grade?
I had Miss Osterberg.
Miss Schmall. Yeah, no clue. No clue.
I want to say Janet.
Janet. No, that's a good name. True. That's my mom's name.
That's true. Maybe
see,
that's why I'm
people love to opine on names.
I mean, Janet's a good name, but no, I'm just kidding. I like Janet. It's a good name.
Anyway, that was fun. People do say the funniest things.
Listeners, if you have any amazing they said what stories of your own, please let us know. You can contact us on our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, or on any of the socials. We're at BFP Podcast.
All right, let's move on to our BFPs and BFNs after this break.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We are back, and it's our lovely BFP and BFN segment, Big Fat Positive or Big Fat Negative of the Week. Laura, what do you have for us?
I have another BFP.
Cool.
Keep it going on the positives. This is a real good one. Waistband extenders.
Waistband extenders for pants?
Yes.
Oh, you don't just use like an old hair tie and like put it around the button and like stick it through the hole. Like,
that's also a good hack. But no. So I found on Amazon a waistband extender that's like they look like jeans and they're like have a little like jean button and you just like thread it through the existing button and then put it through the hole and you just can get an extra inch or two in the waistband. So I got cord. Yes, I got cord. They're like so cheap, at least on Amazon. I think I got like a 9-pack for, I don't know, $5 or something. I'll go look. It was like, I got way too many. I didn't realize, I thought like, oh, I need all these different colors. I need them for all my jeans. I got way too many. You only need like three. Uh-huh. But so I got Corey to get my pre-maternity clothes out from the storage unit. And I was trying on all my old jeans, and the smaller ones don't fit, but like I basically go between like an 8 and a 10 before pregnancy I did. And like the 8s are like, forget about it right now. But the 10s, I can still like get up like all like up to my waist and zip it up, but I couldn't get the waistband comfortably buttoned, even with my like stretchy jeans. So I got these waistband extenders. And then the other thing is I remembered I had watched one of those like 9 hacks that will like improve your life dramatically video at some point on Facebook. And I remembered this trick to help keep your zipper up, because obviously if your waistband isn't like as closed as it's supposed to be, the zipper will like slide down, right?
Oh yeah. What's the hack for that?
So you take a key ring, like one of those split rings that you put keys on for keychains.
Yeah.
And you put it through the little, there's a little hole in, at the end of most of the zippers, the zipper pulls. Mm-hmm. And then you thread it through that. And then when you zip it up, you loop it around the buttonhole, like the actual button, before you button it through the buttonhole. So it just stays like secured.
Cool. Yeah.
I'll try to find a video for that and post it on bigfatpositivepodcast.com, because it is actually, it works actually really well. And you can't, if you get the right size split ring, you can't see it. It's just hidden behind the buttonhole. So
cool.
So now I can wear jeans again.
That's awesome. That's so ambitious of you to bust out the pre-maternity clothes already. I'm like staying a healthy arm's distance from all of that stuff. I'm scared.
Yeah, I mean, most of it does not fit. But the problem was that I only had like one pair of maternity jeans that was like really fitting me still. And I don't mind wearing the maternity jeans, but it had a hole. It has a hole like where the soft part that goes over your belly meets the jean. And so unless I was wearing a really long t-shirt, it was the out for everyone to see. So I needed to do something. I was like, well, before I go and buy new clothes, I'm going to see what I can do with my old clothes. So waistband extenders.
Cool.
They exist in all different colors. And yeah.
Awesome.
How about you? What do you have, a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFN this week.
All right.
And that is cradle cap.
Oh, God. Yes.
So for people who don't know, cradle cap is like a skin condition on top of your baby's head. It's a mostly newborn condition. I don't know what it's specifically called, dermatitis or something like that.
I think it's seborrheic dermatitis.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. Yeah.
It's like dandruff.
It is like dandruff, except it's like dandruff that doesn't fall off the head. It like kind of like flake, like skin flakes build up and stay on the scalp. And so she just... Like the skin flakes were all over the top of her head. And the pediatrician mentioned it at her 2-month appointment. Like, I was just not focused on this when she was 2 months old. She had baby acne.
The least of your problems.
Like, the literal least of my problems. And I was like, oh, cradle cap. And he's like, no big deal. You know, it's fine. Doesn't bother her. And weeks went by and I started like, you know, focusing on it a little bit more. I'm like, that like looks bad. I don't know. Kind of bring out my superficial mom side, like, I don't know, maybe there is something I can do about that, because it just, like, doesn't look very cute. I don't know. I feel bad every time I talk
cute.
Like this. Yeah,
No. My baby has it, too, and it's not cute. It's like, you have this cute little soft baby skin. They also get them on their eyebrows a little bit. I've, like, had to pay really close attention to my baby's eyebrow area.
Oh,
because he's gotten these little flakes. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones, but I'm like, it looks like he has grayscale.
Oh, yeah. It can look like that. It can be bad. Yeah, so I finally was like, you know, maybe there's something I can do about this, because the whole it doesn't bother them thing wasn't flying for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So this BFN kind of turns into a BFP, actually.
Okay.
So I bought this shampoo. I found it at Target just on the shelf. It's called Mustela. It's for cradle cap. I was like, well, I'll try that. And so you wash their hair with it, and it was supposed to take care of it, and it didn't take care of it the first time. So I was like, well, maybe there's something else I could do. So I was looking online, and people are like, I use Mustela, and then I like comb it with a cradle cap comb.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is that? So I looked it up on Amazon, and it's a special thing just for like getting these scales off of babies' heads. And all of the people who left reviews for this little comb, like, just had to put pictures of how many, like, baby skin flakes they got off. Oh, my God. Like, stuck in the comb. And it was, like, the most horrific thing I'd ever seen, but I also couldn't look away. I was just like, oh, my God, like, kind of daydreaming about just, like, scraping all these skin flakes off her head. So I didn't actually end up getting that, but I found if anyone is looking to help with their baby's cradle cap, here's what I did that helped. I put a little baby oil on her head, and this was like a few minutes before her bath, and then let that kind of soak in to loosen up the flakes, and then I'd give her a bath and then scrub her head with this cradle cap stuff that has like salicylic acid or some gentle exfoliant. And then rinse that. And I did that maybe every other day for like two or three times. And then it was just gone. It was just gone.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I didn't have to like scrape off like crazy, scary with the comb flakes.
That sounds like something I could get very into, though. I very much enjoy grooming my son.
I think you would like it. I imagine people that like popping pimples, like that kind of obsession, I think they would really like this. I'm not that person, by the way, but yeah.
I am that person.
I had a feeling you were. yuck. So anyway, that's my BFN turn BFP, and I still wash her hair with that shampoo every other day or so, and it's supposed to prevent any other outbreaks. So far, so good. She's got a clean, fuzzy little head. It's so cute now.
Cute. All right. I'll have to try that.
Yeah. So I think that wraps it up for us this week, Laura.
Yeah. So we would love to hear from you if you have any of your own They Said What's or any tips for cradle cap. Let us know. You can reach out to us at BFP Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we also have a Facebook community group you can join. We also have a website, makethatpositivepodcast.com. And we would love it if you left us a review and a rating on iTunes if that's your podcast listening venue of choice.
Make That Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye. I guess I should get rid of my gum.
Shauna.
I just ate tuna for lunch. I don't want to offend my microphone.